on inquiring of one of the physicians in Blockley Almshouse, Philadelphia, as to the number of its inmates who were brought into the insane department by its instrumentality, he started at once upon his feet and spoke with great energy and emphasis of its influence in inducing derangement, and narrated several very interesting cases. In my visit to that institution a few days ago, I saw several insane patients who were brought there by this vice, and whose hands were tied to prevent self-pollution. If it is facts that you want, I assure you, they exist in abundance in every degree of aggravation. Let the young be warned, for most of its victims become so ignorantly. Let us have light, especially in our institutions of learning, because there the absence of exercise, the seclusion from female society, and the character of their studies, especially those that cultivate or vitiate the imagination, all tend to induce and increase the evil. Nor am I alone. All who say anything corroborate this sad testimony. Dr. Alcott, whose authority will deservedly be regarded as weighty, writes concerning it thus: "We believe that a majority of our diseases and infirmities, our aches, our pains, and our deformities too, after the age of puberty, are either induced or aggravated in this way. Believe it, did we say? Would to heaven this expression were as strong as the nature of the case and the character of the facts warrant. We know it is so, as well as we know anything of mathematical demonstration or the actual testimony of our senses. Dr. Snow of Boston confirms this painful testimony as follows: self-pollution is undoubtedly one of the most common causes of ill health that can be found among the young men of this country. From the observations that I have been able to make, I am satisfied that the practice is almost universal. Boys commence at an early age, and the habit once formed, like that of intemperance, becomes almost unconquerable. In boarding schools and colleges, it obtains oftentimes without an exception. Hence the many sickly students, and the many young men of the most brilliant and promising talents, who have broken their constitution and ruined their health, as it is said, by hard study. Nor, in my humble judgment, do any of these statements overrate the evil, but far underrate it, as regards its prevalence in this country. English authors speak almost as freely regarding its prevalence there. If it is less extensively practiced in France, it is probably because licentiousness proper takes its place. But our females, at least, are safe," exclaims the fond mother. "My daughter's native modesty is her shield of protection. Would to God this were so. But facts wrest even this consolation from us. They may be less infected, yet woman, young and modest, is dying by thousands of consumption, of female complaints, of nervous or spinal affections, of general debility, and of other ostensible complaints innumerable, and some of insanity, caused solely by this practice." On this point, Dr. Woodward again thus speaks out: "About 2 years ago, a young woman, aged 22 years, came under my care, and in a state of the worst form of insanity. She was furious, noisy, filthy, and apparently nearly reduced to idiocy. She had been in this condition many months, and continued so for some time while with me. She was pale and bloodless, had but little appetite, frequently rejected her food, and was reduced in flesh and strength. Finding her one day more calm than usual, I hinted to her the subject of masturbation, and informed her that if she practiced it, she could not get well. If she abandoned it, she might. She did not deny the charge, and promised to follow my advice strictly. In 2 or 3 weeks from that time, she was perceptibly better. Her mind improved as her health gained, and both were much better in the course of a few weeks. The recovery was very rapid in this case. At the end of 6 months, she had excellent health, was quite fleshy, and became perfectly sane, and has continued so far as we have known to this time. Not long since, a case of periodical insanity came under my observation, the object of which was a young lady. The disease had existed 10 years, without any material change. Suspecting that masturbation was the cause, I directed her mother to ascertain if possible, and inform me. Some months after, I received intelligence that my patient was better, and that my suspicions of her habit were confirmed by the observation of her friends. The case is not without hope, although of so long standing, if the cause be removed. 3 or 4 similar cases have been under my care recently, in which individuals of the same sex have been reduced to the same degraded state. They are now, and will continue to be while life remains, a melancholy spectacle of human misery, without mind, without delicacy or modesty, constantly harassed by the most ungovernable passion, and under the influence of propensities excited to morbid activity by a vice far more prevalent than has been supposed. A large portion of the bedridden cases, of which there are so many in the community, will be found to have originated in this cause. Mrs. Gove, in her lectures to ladies on anatomy and physiology, subjects which every woman should understand, thus discourses concerning its prevalence among her sex. About 8 years since, my mind was awakened to examine this subject by the perusal of a medical work that described the effects of this vice when practiced by females. This was the first intimation I had that the vice existed among our sex. Since that time, I have had much evidence that it is fearfully common among them. There is reason to believe that in 9 cases out of 10, those unhappy females, who are tenants of houses of ill fame, have been victims of this vice in the first place. Were this the peculiar vice of the low and vulgar, there might be more excuse for the apathy and false delicacy that pervade the community respecting it. But it invades all ranks. Professed Christians are among its victims. Our boarding and day schools are sources of untold mischief. A short time since, 2 sisters, ladies of the first respectability, informed me that when very young they were put to a female boarding school where this vice prevailed, and the practice was explained to them. They were blessed with parents who were willing to converse with and warn their children, and they escaped the contamination. One of her correspondents writes that she became addicted to solitary vice about the age of 9 years. Facts and Important Information to Young Women, etc., a work which we recommend cordially, details many instances illustrative of the prevalence of this vice. My own practice and observation as to its prevalence confirm and considerably exceed these statements. I have one infallible test, which I often apply without the knowledge of its subjects, and thereby detect many who little suspect me of knowing their secret practices. Called to prescribe for a young woman, and knowing from this sign what caused her complaint, I sought an interview with her mother, to whom I disclosed my suspicions. She said she thought her daughter innocent, but she knew she had slept much with an elder girl who was addicted to it. I asked her what she knew concerning its prevalence. She said a girl in her neighborhood had just died from its effects, and that the female operatives in a neighborhood factory practiced it almost universally, as she learned from one of them. She named other factories in which it was hardly less prevalent. I know little girls below their teens who thus abuse themselves, and from my application of the test named above, am constrained to believe the practice alarmingly extensive among the fairest portion of creation. I sicken at the thought. O woman, who hath thus bewitched you, that ye should thus depart from the paths of delicacy and health and happiness? But I forbear simply alleging that the plague is all around and all among us. None of our daughters or sons are safe, however carefully we may guard them, till we cast out this accursed plague from among us. And being a common enemy, it can be extirpated only by community of effort. Single hands can do but little. Nothing but combined, concentrated, and long-continued exertion can avert the widespread and insidious contagion. Come, up and doing, every lover of his race, every lover of his own dear children. Even for their sakes, if on no other account, gird yourselves to this disagreeable but indispensable work of philanthropy and reform, till we drive this common enemy from our midst. O gracious God, save our youth, for they border on ruin. Must they need fall a prey to a vice so brutal? Must they decay and die in their youth, but not to all the horrors of even a youthful death, give relief to their tortured bodies and souls? Save especially female purity and maiden loveliness. Effects. Happiness is the one constitutional product of every function of our being, yet every function is capable of a painful action. Nor are these two forms or products of the action of our respective functions chance comers and goers, but all are governed by inflexible law. That function is necessarily pleasurable, which harmonizes with the primitive constitution and fulfills the legitimate design of the faculty exercised and is called normal or natural. The action of any function is painful, which violates or departs from its normal, primitive institution, or end, and is called abnormal, which means unnatural.